Kiss FM. In a bit of recording technique now. I don't want to get too technical on this stuff, but it's interesting because the Beatles were starting to have fun and discover what they could do with the recording technology, which was pretty limited back then, but they got around it in many ways. She's a Woman's a real great example because only recently was that song available in stereo, as you just heard it, on the Beatles compact disc. It was always in mono up until that point. But the stereo compact disc version does not have the reverb, the reverberation on it that the original single had. So here at CBS FM, we have what you heard was the stereo version, and we re-added the reverb to make it sound exactly as it did when it was a hit back in 1964. All those little recording tricks, the Beatles came up with one here that was most unusual. For the next hit, 8 days a week, they faded it in at the beginning of the record. It was, you know, not a big deal, but something that had never been done before, as the record didn't just come right on. It sort of faded onto your radio like this. 8 days a week, their next number one.
Harry Harrison, the voting mayor, here with you for our CBS FM Beatles Weekend 101. The Fab Four started the British music invasion 25 years ago. And what do you remember of those days of Beatlemania sweeping all across the USA? Some of my most exciting memories of the 60s are meeting John, Paul, George, and Ringo and being with them on stage at Carnegie Hall and Shea Stadium. So you enjoy our CBS FM Beatles Weekend 101 as we bring back those happy days when the Beatles were young and we were too.
You're listening to the 25th anniversary Beatles Weekend. 101. Bob Shannon. You're listening to the 25th anniversary Beatles Weekend. 101
CBS FM. CBS FM, I don't want to spoil the party. The flip side of 8 days a week, we are playing you the Beatles American Top 100 Billboard hits in their order of appearance on that chart. And that one came around, as I say, on the flip side of 8 days a week in 1965, kicking off the second year of the Beatles invasion. Hear a little bit of different influence in their music now, sort of a country-tinged, even folk rock type of sound. The Beatles were definitely listening to that kind of American music, and it was the beginning of an interplay between the two countries. Now we weren't just getting the British invasion, we were sending music back as acts like the Byrds and the Turtles began recording folk rock on the West Coast, and the influence of Bob Dylan was felt on both sides of the Atlantic. The Beatles became big fans of Bob Dylan, and a lot of his type of music can be heard as the Beatles adapted it and made it their own, not only with a song like I Don't Want to Spoil the Party, has a definite country feel, and we'll hear some more of that too, but this song that was released on the second Four by the Beatles extended play record. Four tracks, including John Lennon doing I'm a Loser, definitely influenced by Bob Dylan at CBS FM.
I'm a loser.
Very Dylan-esque harmonica playing. John Lennon and I'm a Loser at CBS FM. Of course, they met Bob Dylan in New York and became friends at that point. It's 2:10 with Bob Shannon. These are cuts taken from the Four by the Beatles EP that charted early on in 1965. And the reason for this was simply because there was not a correct matchup between the American and British albums. There were more cuts released on the English albums, so Capitol in the United States had a lot of stuff left over that weren't on the American LPs. So they released this four-track EP by the Beatles. I remember being running around trying to find those British imports back then to get those few extra Beatle cuts. And we got them one way or the other. We'll have the other three from that EP coming up next at CBS FM. The Beatles Four by the Beatles EP. Now here's two cuts from that EP that are both originally done by Carl Perkins. Again, we heard them doing his Matchbox, a big, big favorite of the Beatles. And in later years, Carl Perkins appearing on television with former members of the Beatles and sort of a father and son reunion. They really idolized his music and recorded it. This song was also the very first time that Ringo took the lead vocal on a record that charted in the United States. We'd heard him do Boys on the earlier album, but none of the records so far that we've played have featured Ringo on the lead. The old flip side of Carl Perkins' Blue Suede Shoes. We'll hear that. And then George singing another Carl Perkins song back-to-back at CBS FM. But first, Ringo on Honey Don't.
Ah, Honey Don't.
CBS FM, a slip of the Shannon tongue. Yes, thanks to a couple listeners who just called in. Of course, Ringo was doing Matchbox. He was a lead vocalist on. That wasn't the first time we heard Ringo. He was doing the other Carl Perkins song, Matchbox, too. So that was the second time Ringo took the lead vocal, and again on a Carl Perkins song here at CBS. CBS FM. Thanks for calling in. You know, I make mistakes, too, and when I do, I make them real big, like that one. Here's George Harrison. I hope it's George singing Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby, another Carl Perkins song from that EP on CBS FM.
Well, it took some honey.
Man, they really learned their stuff from Carl Perkins, didn't they? The Beatles, four by the Beatles EP. Here's a final cut. Done originally, and I wish I should have brought the interview in. I talked to this man before he passed away. His name is Piano Red, one name he went under, and the other was Dr. Feelgood, down in Atlanta, big blues piano player, and a man who originated a couple of weird records. I don't know how the Beatles found this one, but they did. It was originally done by Dr. Feelgood and the Interns on Epic Records, but somehow the Beatles made it their own. It's called
Mr. Moonlight.
Mr. Moonlight.
CBS FM, Dr. Feelgood was his name, and I did talk to him once, and he told me that he really credited the Beatles. He was grateful that they had recorded his song, Mr. Moonlight, four by the Beatles EP at CBS FM. I was just chatting on the phone with a fellow named Brian, who is actually sitting, as we speak, at the old Ed Sullivan Theater. He is guarding the theater, which is now, he works for the Kate and Ally Show, which is filmed there, taped there. But he said he wasn't old enough. He wasn't even born when the Beatles were happening. But just to be a part of that history and to sit there guarding that historic CBS television studio where he is now. So, Brian, thanks for checking in. And it's good to have you and everybody else listening being a part of our Beatle weekend. Another Beatle number one hit in 1965 is next at 101. A couple minutes ago, he said that the Columbo is coming back to ABC, one of my favorite shows. I'm glad to see that back on. And I forgot to tell you, it's going to premiere Monday, February 6th. At 9 p.m. on WABC TV Channel 7. That's Monday night for the return of Lieutenant Columbo with his original trench coat. And I guess they got his old car back, too. They found the original car that he had in the series. It's going to be fun. Monday, February 6th on Channel 7.
Thrifty Car Rental presents Rich Little.
BSFM. We're doing them in chronological order. Their top 100 Beatle chart hits. This is their next number one song. The last one had been 8 days a week, which oddly enough was the first time that a single by the Beatles hit number one in America, but it did not even make the charts in England because it wasn't released there. 8 days a week was not released as a single in Great Britain, but it was number one here. Their next number one was from the upcoming movie that they had just started working on in February of 1965. In fact, late in that month, they left Heathrow Airport, headed for the Bahamas to start filming their second motion picture, this one to be in color, called Help. But that was not the original name of the movie. In fact, if you have the original copy of Ticket to Ride, you'll see that the fine print under the writing credit for Lennon McCartney says, from the United Artists release, Eight Arms to Hold You. That was the working title for the movie Help before they changed it. And this was the song that was released even before the movie came out, but would be heard in that film. Ticket to Ride, CBS FM. CBS FM, I believe, a rare occasion of Paul McCartney playing lead guitar on that. Ticket to Ride, the Beatles, number one. This was the flip side. Yes, it is. A Beatle weekend on 101.
If you were red, Bob Shannon.
You're listening to the 25th anniversary Beatles weekend.
101, CBS FM.
July 29th, 1965, the premiere of the second Beatle movie at the Pavilion Theater in London, England. The name of the movie, of course,
Help
the Beatles, CBS FM number one. Released in August 1965, went to the top of the charts for 3 weeks. It was followed in the number one spot by another Beatle record. Well, really not a Beatle record. This was the first time that any one of the Beatles had stepped out really doing a solo recording. None of the others were involved in this. It was really Paul McCartney's big orchestration and his showcase of a song that he had written. And the other Beatles were not even in the studio when Paul recorded this. He'd been working on the song for a while, and as you've heard me tell from time to time on CBS FM, the working title of this was Scrambled Egg. And luckily, he changed that to Yesterday. So it's really a Paul McCartney solo effort, but credited to the Beatles, number one, CBS FM. CBS FM, I believe in scrambled eggs. That's Yesterday, the Beatles at 101. The other Beatles not taking part in the recording of that. I guess George Harrison, there's a new book out that mentions that George was around and complimented the orchestration on that and told the musicians they sounded great, but he really had nothing to do with the actual recording of that. A Paul McCartney solo effort. At 23 before 3 with Bob Shannon, back with more on 101. Go back to Yesterday and flip it over now. And, oh, here's our old friend Ringo again. And Ringo, so much a fan of country and western music, later on recording a whole album, The Bocuse of Blues, as he did the music that he loved so much. This one was first recorded by the American country singer Buck Owens. Yes, Buck Owens had the original Act Naturally, the flip of yesterday at CBS FM. The phenomenal success of the Beatles continued in 1966 with another number one hit, We Can Work It Out. CBS FM were playing them in chronological order as they appeared on the Billboard chart. Now, it's hard to believe that the flip side of that record was sort of a forced composition, sort of a throwaway written under pressure. They had to come up with a single, and they had We Can Work It Out. They needed something for the other side. And John and Paul came up with this under duress, and it only took them three takes to record it. Can you believe the talent that was evident on something this good coming out of that kind of situation? A Beatle time period that I really like because, for me at least, it was one of the two turning point albums for the Beatles, Rubber Soul, that was popular late in 1965, early in 1966. Of course, the second would be Sgt. Pepper. But this, to me, was a whole beginning of a new direction for the Beatles, a different sort of sound, much more folk-influenced and more acoustic in some cases, and a different approach to their material, the themes they were writing about in songs like Girl and others. And I just love that album. That was really... I was not that much into the Beatles up to that point. I really prefer the Rolling Stones and anything that was more rhythm and blues sounding. But when I bought Rubber Soul, that really turned me on to the Beatles in a much bigger way than I had felt about them before. This cut was not released on the American Rubber Soul album. It became their next hit single. Nowhere Man, CBS FM.
He's a real-